Hillary speaks for millions. She was a college student in New York City, but she had her doubts about the God we have our faith in. She said, "I just don't believe the God of Christianity exists. God allows terrible suffering in the world, so he might either be all-powerful but not good enough to end evil and suffering, or he might be all-good but not powerful enough to end evil and suffering. Either way, the all-good, all-powerful God of the Bible couldn't exist." It's been called the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith, the presence of suffering. Some see the presence of suffering as the absence of God. There's no way a good God will allow suffering. This is a very real question many have about our God. And here's what we believe to be true. God is all good. God is all powerful. God is all wise. That means God always has the power and wisdom to do good. So why is there suffering? Is Hillary right? Or is there a deeper purpose for our pain? Good day, Simplify listeners. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to Tough Questions on Simplify. The Bible doesn't shrink from suffering. Scripture is not Skittles, rainbows, and dancing unicorns. Suffering is found all the way from Genesis 3 through Revelation 18. But suffering wasn't in the beginning. Take a close look at Genesis 1 and 2. Pinch and zoom as long as you need to, and you won't find one tissue to dry one tear. That's the way God designed it. God designed our world without suffering. No hospitals, no funeral homes, no cancer clinics, no walk-in clinics, no walkers, no wheelchairs, no COVID-19. Creation was perfect, just like God designed it. Then God gave us one of the greatest gifts He's ever given us. He gave us choice. We could choose Him or choose sin. Thanks a lot, Adam and Eve. We chose sin. Have you ever wondered why the tree? If God knew we would sin and then suffer, why plant the tree? Why not leave that tree out of the landscaping plan? We would live in a world without hate, without selfishness, without sin, without suffering. It sounds like paradise. Just leave the tree out of the garden, problem solved. Except, it would be a world without love. We would serve God not because we love Him, but because we have no choice. Now, as of today, the lovely Andrea and I have been married now for 19 years, 8 months, and 3 weeks. The best 19 years, 8 months, and 3 weeks of my life. But what if every other guy in the world was already married? And I was the last lonely, long-chinned, single guy left in the world for her to marry. I might wonder one day if she loves me, especially when I track mud all across the carpet. But she married you, LJ. You've got 2 daughters together and 3 failed attempts at being dog people. But does she love me? Our choice brought on sin, and our sin brought on suffering. So whether we want to fess up or not, our fingerprints are all over suffering. Suffering was not God's design. It was ours. Since our little grocery shopping trip to the forbidden fruit stand, our world has become all too familiar with suffering. It's not a popular message, but it's a true message. God didn't introduce suffering. We did. When God created our world, He created it right. We wrecked it. We introduced sin and suffering. We sabotaged the world, not God. That's why you find suffering all the way from Genesis 3 to Revelation 18. But wait a minute. What about Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 19 to 22? Well, that was the way God wanted it then and the way God will have it later. The world was perfect in Genesis, and it will be perfect again in Revelation. That's why John wrote with a tear on the page that he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he said what he saw, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. One day, this day will be that day, and what a day that will be. But until this day is that day, we wrestle with the reality of suffering. God gave us stories all throughout His story about people who suffered just like us. Ironically, Joseph's story is found in Genesis all the way back near the beginning. And his story teaches us that suffering doesn't have to be pointless. Suffering can have a purpose. Joseph's dad couldn't have loved him more, and his brothers couldn't have loved him less. Now that's a problem for Joseph. His brothers threw him in a pit to kill him. Then they heard hoof steps and got shekel signs in their eyes when they realized they could get some cash for the spoiled brat brother. So they hoisted him out of the well just to sell him into slavery. He didn't know it, but they dipped his coat in goat's blood to sell their sordid story that a wild animal ripped their dad's fair-haired favorite son limb from limb. Then he was sold one more time, this time to the head of the Secret Service in Egypt. But the Secret Service director's wife lied on him, accused him of rape, so he was thrown in prison. He could have lost his life, but God was with him. He languished in prison for a few years, and he did nothing wrong. He didn't hurt anyone. He was innocent. But he was hated, lied on, sold into slavery, lied on again, thrown in prison. And he helped a couple of his prison buddies out. One of them could have helped him, but forgot about him for 2 more years. It's one thing to think you're about to retire any day now and have to wait 2 more years, but it's another level of suffering to think you're about to be set free from prison and have to stay behind bars for 2 more years, and you know you've done nothing wrong. Pretend like you're hearing this story for the first time. Put yourself in Joseph's jumpsuit. What are you thinking? Is there a purpose for all my pain? And we don't see it, at least not yet. But Joseph doesn't realize the world is about to spiral into famine and nobody anywhere will have food if they don't prepare for it now. So God gave Pharaoh a dream, a duet of dreams, in fact, about the famine. And Pharaoh needs an explanation and some sleep. And Joseph's prison buddy suddenly remembers his prison buddy after 2 years. Joseph is released, interprets the dream, is promoted to vice president in Egypt overnight, and Joseph prepares for 7 years to save the world from a worldwide famine. His suffering placed him in the right place to save the world. We won't always see it. In fact, most of the time, we probably won't see the purpose for our pain this side of heaven, but our suffering does not have to be pointless. God didn't design suffering, but he can help bring healing and help out of suffering. Now let's do what I did when I was losing a big game on Xbox One. Let's press the reset button. Let's go back to the garden before sin, before suffering. Adam and Eve are skipping through the garden singing zippity-doo-dah, and they both see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve gets that look in her eye. And you already know how the story ends if they eat from it. If you're the all-powerful, all-wise, all-good God, what do? How do you give them a choice and keep them from sinning? Well, let's fast forward the story to today. You won't go back and keep them from sinning in the beginning, but you can keep us from suffering today. Where do you draw the line on suffering? Where do you step in to stop suffering before it starts? Do you only stop the big ones, like murder, terrorism, child abuse, drug abuse, drunk driving, adultery? Do you stop theft? What about slander? Do you stop one teen from typing words on social media that will drive another teen to take their own life? Would you stop someone from jaywalking if it meant they were walking in front of an oncoming car? How do you take away suffering without taking away freedom? If you were God, what would you do? Let me tell you what he did do. He stepped into suffering. Nobody could have faulted him if he stayed away. It is our mess. We should clean it up. And God would have been justified to stay just where he was, but he did not stay. He stepped into the middle of our suffering, into a manger in Bethlehem. And he didn't come to taunt and mock us. He came to empathize with us. Isaiah prophesied Jesus would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Jesus already carried all your grief and sorrow and suffering and anger and questions and doubt on him when he carried his cross. He came into our world to know what it felt like to be hurt, to be betrayed, to be lied on, to be lied to be abandoned, to be feel forsaken, to feel sorrow, to grieve, to be angry, to suffer. And he carried that powder keg of emotions and suffering on him when he carried his cross. It's one thing for a pastor to understand what you're going through, but it's a miracle for Almighty God to understand what you're going through, but he does. And he will give us a greater gift than an explanation when we suffer. He will give us peace. That's the hope of every child of God. The resurrection we learned about 2 weeks ago is our hope for this week and every week. Jesus came into our world and suffered at the sinful hands of our world, but he conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave, and one day by his grace and through his suffering, so will we. And one day, God will right all the wrongs. One day he will set the crooked record straight. One day God will vanquish sin and sickness and suffering. Once and for all, he will mete out unfettered justice to those who show no mercy. One day he will settle all accounts and hold the unrepentant responsible for the suffering they've caused in our world. But today is not that day. So don't throw the book away near the end of the book just because the author hasn't finished the book yet. The author will chalk up a win for the good guys. I've read it. It happens. Don't give up on God. He's not finished yet. He has authored your story, and if you'll trust him, he will finish your story, and the ending will be far better than the beginning. How could a good God allow suffering? He gave us a choice. We chose sin. But why would a good God step into suffering when he didn't have to? He had a choice, and he chose us. Thank God for his grace. I want to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Jesus, I thank you today that you stepped into suffering. You did not have to. You could have stayed away. We could not have faulted you. Thank you for loving us enough to come near us, to come where we are. Thank you for loving us enough to identify with us and understand everything we go through. I pray today for everyone listening who's suffering, everyone listening who knows someone, who loves someone who's suffering. God, I pray you'd give us peace. I know you're not going to end all suffering in our world today. You even promised we'd have tribulation in our world, but you've overcome it. I ask you, help every one of us to look to you and trust you and put all our faith and confidence in you. We love you and thank you for your grace and peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Simplify. I hope it's helped you. I hope it's given you a little bit different perspective perhaps on suffering, and certainly I hope it's helped to see how good our God really is. If you would like a copy of the devotional Simplify, please visit PentecostalPublishing.com. You can get it in print or Kindle. Next week, we deal with another tough question, and that question is, how could a good God send anyone to hell? That's a tough one. And I'm going to do my best to help answer from Scripture what the Scripture says about God and about hell. I do look forward to our discussion next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.